It's Sportsline Radio Show time on a Tuesday. We're here for our second half of this Sportsline Radio Show on WMIC AM 660 and 95.3 FM on this Tuesday, August 30th, 2022. Counting down to the final days of the month of August is here. Final weekend coming up also. A lot of these games, by the way, come this week will be most of them on Labor Day weekend. And we already will have a couple games to promote. First of all, I'll be helping out the Thumb Together Sports Crew. Going to really want to look at this Wednesday game with Deckerville. High school A player varsity team taking on KPAC Chiefs. On Wednesday, we'll be out there on thumbtogether.com channel 1. Now, myself on Sand Lake Broadcasting, also be pulling double duty. We'll have the game with Bad Axe Hatchets at the Sandusky Redskins. Both teams 0-1 coming off from big, tough losses. We'll see if these teams can bounce back. So tune in to 92.5 WBGV. For full coverage of the Bad Axe at Sandusky game. We talked about the Greater Thumb Conference on Monday. You can listen to the podcast, which is up for our first portion of Sportsline Radio Show. And then we'll post this Tuesday edition and put it all together for people to listen. Now, my guests, once again, they were here yesterday on Monday, is Mike Gallagher of the San Lake County News.
Yes, I'm back.
And also Scott Mosby on the phone with us all the way from Carroll, Michigan, with the Tuscola County Advertiser and 92.1 FM. Let's talk sports, Scotty.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? Back at it.
Yeah, you sound tired. I know you had you're working on the finishing touches of that preview issue coming out on Wednesday.
Yeah, thank God it's done. That's all I can say. It's fun to put together. You get to meet all the kids and the coaches. But once it's gone, and I know Mike can attest to this, you got a big smile on your face.
All right, so Scotty, what is your game coverage this week?
Marlette, USA. It came down to a couple of them, but I wanted to see Marlette, and none of the other games at Marlette really fit into our schedule. So I said, you know what? Let's just do Marlette this week and head on over there to Red Raider Country.
And how about you, Mike?
Well, I was going to flip a coin and either go to Sandusky or Marlette, but if Scott's going to be in Marlette, then might have to go over there. No, I think I'm going to catch Marlette as well. It's nice to catch them early on in the season. Lighting just a little bit better for taking photos at Marlette early in the season. But I am looking forward to catching Sandusky very soon.
Yeah, and of course our coverage, as I said, I'll be having Deckerville KPEC High School A Player Football. KPEC Schools sent us a message on Monday morning. I said, hey, any chance, I know it's a long shot, would you guys like to come out and cover KPEC against Deckerville on a Wednesday, a hump day?
Yeah, I also plan on being at that one. It's not very often you can get a football game in on a Wednesday night. Schedule around the thumb a little bit different this year with some Saturday games, with some Thursday games, with the ref shortage. So whenever you can get extra football in, you do it. And even if it's a drive to KPEC, it's worth it. Especially to see Deckerville.
That's quite a hike also. So,
yeah, not quite San Lac County, but it's close enough.
And so we'll have that game. I'll be doing double duty. I'll be on Thumb Check Out of Sports. So of course, I created it, but Jonathan Bisher taking over the reins as a sports director. We need some people to cover, so I do believe Ashley Wiener-Palmer and myself will be doing that game on thumbchugger.com at Channel 1. I actually just want to get an early look at Deckerville and KPEC, see what KPEC's really all about. Well, same team with Deckerville, but later down the season, we're going to probably want to cover Deckerville once again in the season when it comes down to the league title.
Yep.
Scotty, which eight-player football game are you looking most forward to this year also? I know we're going to touch on the WEAC here coming up.
Well, I mean, obviously, if you leave out Deckerville Kingston and the possibility that Kingston can finally get over that hump, then you would be ridiculous not to remember that one. But I think this week is going to be an interesting week. Akron Fairgrove and CPS. Akron Fairgrove. We saw what just happened against Kingston, but they are a talented bunch. And then Carsonville hasn't played yet, so. I think that could be a very interesting matchup right off the bat.
All right, so we're going to get into that. But first, after our first opening segment here, we're going to talk about the Blue Water Area Conference. My goodness, only one team lost, the rest of them, holy mackerel. some big wins also in the Blue Water Area Conference. And to go through the scores, if you missed them yesterday, high school football on Thursday, it was Lakers over Sandusky, 47-6 in week one. Marlette over Cara, 44-6. And then Croswell Lexington at Saginaw Swan Valley, 34-7. Elmont defeating and surviving against Marysville, 35-24. Richmond shuts out St. Clair, 14-0. North Branch shuts out Thurston Howell III, 56-0. Hazel Park shuts out Emily City. That's the only lone loss in the BWAC. Yale Bulldogs give the dog a bone from ACDC. Dearborn Heights, Annapolis, only 6 points against Yale. And then on Thursday, on high school eight player football, it was Brown City smashing Peck, 64-12. We'll talk about that in our second half segment in the 6 o'clock hour. KPAC over North Huron, 20-8. We'll talk to Paul Adams about that game. Mayville shuts out Caseville, 68-0. Games on Friday, we had Cass City shutting out Reese, 50-0. Ubley over Bad Axe, 41-7. Harbor Beach shuts out Unionville Seabooing Patriots, 34-0. Burton Bentley over Memphis, 42-7. Armada in double overtime over Marine City, 28-7. Shocker.
Yeah, that one, that was the shocker of the week. And I think maybe we didn't put enough respect on Armada's name during the preseason show, because we were all talking North Branch, Croslex, maybe Elmont. But you got to throw Armada in there, too. They were a much improved team last year. And that's a huge win. That's a huge week one win. And the BWAC, we talk about the Greater Thumb East, how that's just going to be such a tough conference this year. And I think, you know, the BWAC's looking to be the same, especially when you see that Yale score. And, you know, there's not going to be any easy games this year in the BWAC.
Well, was that probably the big upset of week one, but the biggest shocker in quite a while, Scotty? Armada over Marine City.
Yeah. You know, from the little I know about BWAC, you know, going into that game, I had heard that, you know, Marine City should be able to win that game. And then I saw on Twitter people just blowing up about it. And I was like, man, you know, shout out to Armada. Like Mike said, you know, I think we need to put a little bit more respect on their name as far as the BWAC goes this year. I mean, they went 7-4 last year, but you know, we kind of gave it to maybe three teams in the BWAC. I mean, you can even put Richmond in there now as well. I mean, it's gonna be a tough battle in the BWAC this year.
All right, still going through these scores from week one. Vassar getting the win over Algonac because Algonac forfeited their season 1-0. Deckerville over Ashley, 56-14 in high school eight player football. Kingston takes down Akron Fairgrove, 54-12. CPS gets the forfeit win over International Academy of Flint. Adrian Lenaway Christian shutting out Genesee Wolves, 51-0. Burton Atherton over New Haven Merritt, 18-8. Auburn Hills Oakland Christian over Bay City All Saints, 44-6. When we come back, we're going to talk about that Armada, Marine City, BWAC play also with Scott Bosworth, the Tuscola County Advertiser. And that's Mike Gallagher of the Sandlot County News. We'll be right back here on Sportsline Radio Show.
Hi, this is Steve Kohler with Kohler's Propane. Looking back, it's been a real nice summer, but each day is closer to fall and cooler weather. When it's time for your furnace to go on, will you be ready? You will be if you depend on Kohler's Propane. For 73 years, we've been keeping homes and businesses in the Thumb and Blue Water area warm and cozy. Our goal is to provide you with quality products and superior service. We guarantee your price for one full year, offer free tank installation, free safety inspection, plus keep full and budget plans are available. At Kohler's, we have a commitment to our customers and communities we serve to continue to provide the level of service we would expect ourselves. For information, call us toll free, 800-572-2191. Or visit our website, getkohlers.com. And remember, nobody gives you gas like Kohler's.
Welcome back to our 5:37 of the Sportsline Radio Show on a Tuesday edition. Now, folks, if you missed all our talk about the Greater Thumb Conference, that is uploaded on our website at sandlakebroadcasting.com for the Monday edition, where we talk about the Greater Thumb Conference. With me is Scott Mosby, Tuscola County Advertiser, and Mike Gallagher of the Sandlot County News. Check out their Facebook pages and pick up their publications also on Wednesdays and get an online subscription. That'll help best. All right, guys, the Blue Water Area Conference, we touched on it in our first break. Armada with a huge win over Marine City, 28-27 in double OT. It was a stop by the Armada defense as Marine City went for that two-point conversion. Huge win and maybe sends ripples in the Blue Water Area Conference, possibly. I know we talked about some key players, Jonathan did, about there's some key players here for the Armada Tigers also. Some of that carries over from last year when they did a pretty okay, some good offensive play there. But, Mike, things looking pretty good. When you beat Marine City, that's a big deal. I think, can this happen there, Scott, also with, because you've experienced this with a team like Millington, where you come in there overconfident, expecting to win your first game, expecting to win a league title through the rest of it. Psychologically, you think you're picking up where you left off and expect to win, but to maybe lose focus on some of the fundamentals at hand and maybe not take the team you are playing as serious enough, not playing with the intensity as you would with some of the later tougher opponents. We saw that happen with the Armada Tigers. They were down 21-7 and then come back and win in overtime over Marine City.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I would imagine. So you go in week one. I mean, you look at Marine City's season. I don't know a ton about them, but I do know that they did make the finals last year. And like everybody else, you know, they did go up against the Grand Rapids Catholic Central, who likes to thump people left and right. But, you know, they come into this season probably high hopes. They've had some great string of seasons. And, maybe overlooked Armada just a little bit, as we did. I mean, Marine City hasn't lost a home opener since 2016. So, or at least season opener, since 2016. So they weren't used to losing to begin the season. So maybe that'll fuel their fire even more. But, man, Armada, I mean, that just, I think, puts a target on them even bigger in the BWAC.
In fact, they lost to another BWAC team. I remember covering these guys for a couple good years. Algonac, that was a 7-2 loss for Marine City. Then in 2015, 18-19, 1-point loss also. Close losses, but it was against a BWAC opponent, which they usually try to open up with. And, here we are. You know, I mean, last year's, what, state semifinalists, too, for Marine City.
Mm-hmm. Just a great night of football for the BWAC. I think another maybe a little bit of a surprising score was Richmond over St. Clair. I don't know exactly what St. Clair brought back this year, but that was a team that played Croslex in the district finals. Richmond maybe one of the lower half of the BWAC teams last year, but you're not going to be able to sleep on Richmond this year. You're not going to be able to sleep on Yale. You're not going to be able to sleep on Armada. It's going to be tough.
By the way, Armada, this was a classic, took 2 hours, 45 minutes, according to the reports from the Times-Herald. The Hand Mariners, their first loss at East China Stadium also. And Armada clinched a victory by tackling Marine City quarterback Jeffrey Hayslip, I do believe, 3 yards short of the goal line in a two-point conversion attempt in the second overtime. Tigers quarterback for Armada, Lucas Pratt, 9-12 passing for 69 yards, one touchdown against one interception. Running back Kyle Conan totaled 98 yards and one score and 21 carries also. Huge win for Armada. Now, coming up next, they have Yale. Yale got the win, but that's a team that I think in the past they've been able to beat in the past.
Yeah, I think Yale is going to be taking that next step this year with Coach Grumman being in his second season. Obviously, we don't really know anything about that team that they beat week one, but that's an impressive score. So I'm looking forward to seeing what Yale does, and I'm looking forward to watching Croslex play Yale this year.
Yeah, looking down the road, Armada has week two, Yale, and then they'll have Croswell Lexington. Okay, right there. We'll take a quick break and be right back here on Sportsline Radio Show on WMIC, AM 660 and 95.3 FM. Your friends at Liberty Lanes and Sandusky say, come join the team. The Fall Bowling Leagues will soon be starting, and Liberty Lanes has openings for the Monday night and Wednesday morning ladies leagues, as well as men's leagues on Tuesday and Wednesday evenings. Liberty Lanes also has mixed leagues on Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday evenings. For more information or sign up, just call or stop in at Liberty Lanes and talk to Roger or Heidi. Plus, Liberty Lanes is a great place to eat. Great food, drinks, and spirits. They are also hiring for all positions, so apply now at Liberty Lanes, located at the West Park Plaza in Sandusky. Call 810-648-9860, 810-648-9860, and like them on Facebook and their website, BowlLibertyLanes.com.
Denny King, the king of cars here at Moore Motors in Caro. What a crazy couple years we've had, coming out of an unprecedented quarantine. Toilet paper and food shortages, insane gas and fuel prices, mask or no mask, vehicle shortages. And it doesn't matter what side of the fence you're on, this world, and particularly the car business, has changed forever. With that said, Moore Motors Ford, Lincoln, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram is here, fully staffed with seasoned veterans to assist you with all your car needs. Sales, parts, service, and body shop. We have certified experts on hand to assist you ordering exactly what vehicle you want with the exact options. And finally, I can say we have 34 new vehicles and 58 pre-owned in stock. And don't worry, friends, we're not charging over sticker for our vehicles like some of our competitors. We're paying top dollar for needed trade-ins as well as lease turn-ins. So come experience why we were voted the number one new car dealer in the Thumb by you, our friends, neighbors, and customers. This is Denny King, the King of Cars, and I'm excited to assist you and see you soon. Or visit us on the web at themoreautogroup.com.
And welcome back to the Sportsline Radio Show as we continue on with our talk about the Blue Water Area Conference. Huge win here for Crosby Lexington on the road, Scotty. Hard to win at Saginaw Swan Valley. 34-7. People thought this might be a little bit step back for Croswell. No, they just reloaded.
Yeah, absolutely. I've heard, Swan Valley's is a younger squad this year. They did lose some pieces, but this is historically a Swan Valley squad that's, pretty tough. And going into the season, I think a lot of us wrote off Croslex for what they lost. But they really stepped up, and they not only traveled to Swan Valley and put up a fight, they came out with a big victory, 34-7. I mean, that's more than I thought that game was going to be. I thought Swan Valley might have their way, or I thought it was going to be, Croslex flipping by them, but not a 34-7 win for Croslex. And Belly Grappi, I mean, you got to give him a ton of credit. They like to. They like to surprise us across Lex, and especially since Coach LeGros has taken over. And I think another pleasant surprise for the Cross Lexington Pioneers. So shame on us, I guess, for saying, hey, this might be a trap game for them to start the season off. And, they might, pull that L to start the season and then have to get back on track. But now here's Swan Valley. Not that we covered them, but, man, they lose to Cross Lex, and now they got to go right back into it against Frankenmuth. So, Croslex, I think that they did a darn good job against Swan Valley.
Yeah, actually, Swan Valley led 7-0 through the first quarter. Then Croswell bounced back with 18 points in the second quarter, 8 more points in the third, and 8 more points in the fourth. So pretty controlled game. After that score by Swan Valley, they settled down. Good coaching there. The players got to respond to that coaching there, Mike.
Yeah, I think we kind of saw what we were expecting from Croslex. Obviously, it was going to be that tough transition offensively with a new quarterback and Gavin Espinoza. So you're going to lean on that defense a little bit. And we saw that in the first quarter, a 7-0 game. But then in the second quarter, you see Gavin Espinoza just get really comfortable. He has a rushing touchdown. He has a touchdown pass to Jet Weeder. And then the pick six. And all of a sudden, you're up 18-7. And then in the second half there, just kind of, we had that kind of tough weather that night. So maybe you don't throw it around anymore. You got Belly Grappi in the backfield. Might as well give it to him 20-plus times. When he's going to finish with 216 yards and two touchdowns, you might as well just keep giving it to him. But Gavin Espinoza, just a great debut at quarterback. And he was on our radar last year, but more of as a defensive player and as a receiver for Jake Townsend. And he always seemed to make that big play last year. We saw it in the North Branch game with the interception, a couple interceptions, and then in the St. Clair game, another big interception to help seal the game at the end. So I think he's just that playmaker, and if he has all the weapons he needs around him, and I think he's gonna be a great quarterback this year. Defensively for Croslex, that's exactly what we expected. They're gonna be good this year on defense. Joey Scarmazzino, 14 tackles, tackle for loss. Braylon Day, 11 tackles, 2 tackles for loss. Drew Hosterman, interception, and then Joey Ramsey on the defensive line. That's a pretty scary thought. He had 8 total tackles, 3 tackles for loss, and a sack. So I think this this was a great test for Croslex to start the season. You know, Swan Valley, they do have that pedigree, and they are traditionally a pretty good program. So I think this was just a great start to the season for Croslex. And now you get to go into BWAC play, and you're going to play a Richmond team that they're going to be looking to pull an upset. Richmond's going to be extremely confident coming into this game after what they did to St. Clair last week. But I think Croslex is going to be just fine. I think we saw some good things out of the offense, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they do this year.
Yeah, Scotty, just 44 yards passing from Croswell Lexington against Saginaw-Swall Valley. It was on the ground, 334 yards rushing, and Grappi, a junior, 217 yards, 9.4 yards, two touchdowns. That's 9.4 yards average, two touchdowns. Gavin Espinoza, a junior. So both these guys, this unit, going to be back next year also, but they're learning their positions right now. Not a bad win and start, especially against Saginaw-Swan Valley for week one. Espinoza, 109 yards on 9 carries also. As a coach, or maybe as a player switching from defense to offense, and then Scaramazzino going to defense and not being on offense anymore, you got to be gratified at how things turned out, and maybe that will carry over to players who are realizing we understand now the switches. The coaches saw our strengths and are putting us in the right places there.
Well, Scaramazzino, he was a pretty great defender last year, and with Kirk Wilson graduating, you're going to be looking to him to fill that role. It's going to be extremely tough to replace the production of Kirk Wilson, but with a guy like Joey Scaramazzino, I think that they'll be all right.
Scotty?
Can I say, for the love of all things holy, North Branch or Croslex, please, please schedule Millington sometime during the season.
Yes.
I just want to see these two teams play. Somebody from the BWAC and somebody in Millington. I mean, we know North Branch used to play Millington, in the Tri-Valley, and Millington used to throttle them, but I want to see these games matched up. I think it would be a lot of fun to see some of these ones and maybe answer some questions for us down the line, but that's neither here nor there. You know, Croslex, I mean, that's a big win for them, and like Mike said, Richmond's going to come with a ton of confidence. Is this game on the road or is it at home?
This one is also on the road, yeah.
Okay, so Croslex, back-to-back road games, and they're going into a tough environment against Richmond. And I know Croslex beat Richmond pretty handily last year, as they did with a lot of teams. So you have to imagine Richmond's going to want some revenge.
Yeah, Croslex has had a lot of success against Richmond the past 2 years, not only at the varsity level, but at the junior varsity level, the freshman level, the junior high level. So Richmond's definitely going to be fighting an uphill battle, but I do think it's going to be a bit of a closer game than we saw last year when it was, 56-0?
56-0,
I don't anticipate it being 52-0 again, but I wouldn't put it past Croslex.
No,
not at all.
Yeah, in the last
two... real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Real quick, Dennis Stuckey from Stuck on Sports said he is the head of the Valley Grappi fan club, so I'd like to officially join. I mean, last year I was a fan of just his name alone, but man, this kid ran the heck out of the ball against the Swan Valley squad that, like Mike and I keep saying, historically have good seasons playing a tough Tri-Valley conference. And, you know, I kudos to Croslex. That's a big one. That's all I can say.
Yeah, and, well, we will be covering Croslex Lexington down the road because we're going to talk about a couple teams that we may be overlooking also. We talked about it last year, about the WEAC. We're going to go into our 6 o'clock news and weather, and we'll come back as we continue to talk about the Blue Area Conference. Croswell Lexington at Richmond, and Croswell has outscored and shut out Richmond the last 2 years. A total of, let me see if I can do my math here, 92 points to Richmond's zero.
Yeah, that's
so,
pretty impressive.
I think it'll be a compliment if Richmond can score against Croswell Lexington this year.
And I'm sure Croslex will be doing everything they can to keep that shutout streak alive.
And based on my heritage, I'm jumping on the Gavin Espinoza Club myself. So I just want to leave it there right there, guys. All right, Scotty, thank you. Stand by. Mike, stand by. We'll come back in our 6 o'clock hour for the Sportsline Radio Show.
From Graff, Chevrolet, Buick, and Sandusky, Here's Brandon Marley.
It's no secret that dealership lots look very different than they did 3 years ago. In most cases, bare would be a fair description. We understand that this can be incredibly frustrating as a consumer who's looking to make a pretty large purchase, such as a new vehicle. It's difficult enough to decide which color or which options best suit your needs. In test drives, that almost seems like a thing of the past. We can honestly say that we don't like this any more than you do, but sadly, it doesn't appear to be going anywhere anytime soon. And for the time being, we think that we've figured out how to make the purchasing experience as simple and smooth as possible. As always, it can start with a simple phone call, email, or visit to our showroom. At that point, we can go over the vehicles that we have inbound and are not currently reserved, which is currently over 50 Silverados, Blazers, Equinoxes, Encores, and more. Many of these units expected to arrive on our lot in the next couple of months, but we would encourage you not to wait to reserve yours as most of them become sold before they ever hit the lot. If none of these work for you, it's no problem, as we'd love the opportunity to place an order for you spec'd out exactly the way you like. The best part is we can lock in today's purchase incentives, and when the vehicle arrives, you have the option of taking those incentives or the incentives available when you take delivery. It doesn't get any better than that. If you're in the market for a new vehicle now, or you think you might be in the next year, give us a call or stop in to go over today's options at Graff Chevrolet Buick on M46 in Sandusky.
Graff family, we're making friends.
This is Tanya Rubin, sales executive at Thumb Cellular. If you're thinking of switching mobile phone carriers, consider Thumb Cellular. Now is the time to get the tailored service you need from the local company you can trust. Unlike the other carriers, we like to build lasting relationships with our customers. I will work with your busy schedule to meet and discuss how we can best serve you. As the only local cellular carrier with the best coverage in the Thumb and nationwide, I can introduce you to what we call the Thumb Cellular Difference. Get the device you want, the plan you need, and the exceptional customer service you deserve without ever having to step foot in the store. So if you're ready for a better cellular experience, call me, Tanya Rubin, at 989-553-5282. Remember, at Thumb Cellular, we've got you covered.
You love Thumb Cellular!
Welcome back to the Sportsline Radio Show. I'm Eddie Fury, along with Mike Gallagher of the Santa County News. On this Tuesday evening in our 6 o'clock hour, still sticking to the topic of the Blue Water Area Conference. And he covers the Blue Water Area Conference because he has to. Scott Bosby from the Tuscola County Advertiser. One of the other games, Hazel Park shut out Emily City 26-0. We talked about how North Branch is going to take on Emily City. I predict a big win for North Branch in that game. Spartans lost their opener in a non-conference matchup. They have a new coach. Also, a quarterback there, Matt Evans, finished for 3 of 10 passing yards for just 40 yards. 3 of 10 for passing for 40 yards and one interception. He also rushed 31 yards and 6 carries. Tanner Land chipped in 38 rushing yards and attempts, while Travis DuPont ran for 30 yards and 6 touches also. Emily City defense, Brady Vander Ploeg's 9 tackles, 2 for a loss. Latham Perry added 6 tackles with 2 for the loss as well, but they allowed Hazel Park to score 26-0. You know, Emily City's had their, well, they have a tough time in football. It's been a while since they had a winning record. I remember when they beat Croswell Lexington at Croswell some years ago, but a lot of turnover coaching, not enough players sometimes fielding because they actually got the Dryden football team helping them out also. I mean, the Dryden school's players, right?
I believe they're still co-oping with Dryden. I don't know how many kids they get from that co-op. They might have opted out of that this year. I'm not 100% sure. But yeah, their coach came on extremely late in the summer, and it's hard to get a team going when, you know, everybody else is, you know, January 1st, we're getting in the weight room and we're getting started. For Emily City, you don't have that coach until July-ish. So that's tough. But, you know, hopefully they get some things going this year. 26-0, that's not terrible. But hopefully they can get things turned around.
Scotty, have you ever got to see Emily City on the field?
I have not, but just by looking at them, they in a way remind me of Carroll. They're bigger town, bigger city, and just cannot get it figured out in the football field. I mean, the last playoff appearance, according to Michigan Football, is 2001. So that's right around the same era as Carroll. So, you know, it just makes you scratch your head. You wonder where these kids maybe are, what they're doing, what games, you know, what are they playing instead of, you know, football? Are they, you know, and that is kind of a downfall with the bigger schools. You have so many more sports that you have to offer. And, you know, I don't know what Emily City offers, but I just, you got to think that one year, Emily City's just going to somehow figure it out and break out and finally get it figured out. But, I mean, when you're in the BWAC, that's tough to do, though, because night in and night out, you have some tough squads to play.
Yeah. Hey, though, they're pretty good at baseball. They're pretty good
that's
at soccer.
True. They're very good at soccer.
They have their sports, including their volleyball team, was playing North Branch as they're both state ranked. So,
and they're pretty good at basketball, also consistently, I would say, competitively.
Yeah. They're always a tough out, except for when they play Croslex in basketball.
Yes.
I just got to throw that one in there.
2-7 last year. They're 0-1 to start off with the loss against Hazel Park, 26-0. Hey, we want a competitive BWAC, and I think we do. You're always going to have those. I mean, not in a mean way, but you know, you're kind of basement dwellers here. But we hope that they can turn it around because you want a competitive league like a Greater Thump Conference. They had the same thing, same deal, you know. But for overall, BWAC pretty competitive overall right now. We even got 1, 2, 3, 4, possibly now 5 horses running for a BWAC league title.
Yeah, well, and we talked about this on the preseason show, but teams like Croswell, Lexington, and North Branch, and Elmont that are looking to take that next step when it comes to the postseason, you need that tough schedule. You know, they've bulked up their schedule, North Branch and Croslex, and you know, in order to be a consistently good team, you gotta consistently play good teams. And so I'm sure all the coaches in the BWAC are rooting for each other. We saw it a little bit on Twitter this weekend with the BWAC supporting each other, and it's just great to see the conference playing so well.
Tim, we already talked about in our earlier segments, Croswell. That's who Richmond Blue Devils will play in week 2. Richmond started off with a good win against a team like St. Clair Saints, pretty decent team year in and year out sometimes. You know, they have some lean years also, but a 14-0 win for the Richmond Blue Devils. They were 4-6 last year, 3-5 the year before. So you're hoping that they could make some noise, and maybe we try not to overlook them, but it was only 14 points scored in the first quarter, and that's all the points that was scored in the game. 14-0, and it was nobody scored after that. So everybody went for that popcorn or hot dogs and had a big break there. Anthony Bonetti, I think his name is. He scored the 7-yard run and a 20-yard run for the Richmond Blue Devils. Rushing yards total, I believe, according to these stats, I seem a little off, but only 100 yards rushing, 72 yards passing, 172 yards. So maybe there's just a lot of stoppage and turnover and downs here between these two teams. But Richmond getting the win, but they will have the Croswell Lexington Pioneers in week 2. Boy, a tough game for Richmond, especially like we talked about earlier, how they have been outscored by Croswell Lexington 56-0 last year, and the year before 36-0. So Scotty, going to be a tough ball here for Blue Devils, but nice to get that week 1 win in. Maybe we're not seeing the whole thing in the big picture here.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think Mike and I went to the Croslex invitation or memorial invitation for cross country on Thursday, and we kind of talked to some I don't remember who we talked to, Mike, but they were talking about the St. Clair Richmond game, and we kind of asked, was St. Clair good this year, and they weren't really sure. And so I was interested to see what the outcome of this game would be. And you said only 14 points were scored in the first quarter, and that was it?
That was it. No other points were scored.
That's a long game, especially with under 200 yards of total offense. So you got to imagine, a lot of stalling, a lot of turnovers on downs, not much ball movement maybe. But that's a long game. That's if you're one of those people that like pitcher's duels and defensive games, that's a game for you.
All right, and the other BWAC team got a big win also. Just start off their season. It was against a team called Dearborn Heights Annapolis for the Yale Bulldogs. Garrett Grunman, former coach of Croswell Lexington, coaching at Yale, 19 points in the first quarter, 7 more in the second, 15 more in the third, and 6 points for Annapolis in the third quarter alone. It was 41-6 for the win. The Bulldogs scored 19 points in that. 6 of 14 passing for Connor Jakubiak, for Yale of 112 yards passing and two touchdowns. Also ran for 5 yards, two touchdowns and four attempts. James Barr led the rushing attack with 97 yards and 12 carries. Kazen Morton, three passes for 48 yards and a touchdown. We're seeing this Garrett Grunman offense that he used to instill in Croswell now for Yale, and I think Yale kind of likes it.
Yeah, it was definitely a change for Yale because they were more of like a power run team before Grunman took over, but they weren't really seeing much success with it. So it's nice to see them change it up a little bit. Grunman always had great offenses at Croslex, so I'm not really surprised that he's turning it around over there. And it's just really nice to see. Obviously, Croslex and Yale, that's a pretty big rivalry. It has not been very competitive as of late. So it would kind of be cool to see that be a little bit more competitive. But, yeah, I mean, it's just great to see Yale, you know, playing well. They got Armada next week, so we'll see what they're going to look like. And then they got North Branch right after that. So it's going to be a tough stretch for Yale, but I'm looking forward to seeing what these guys do.
Yeah, they got Armada, North Branch, Richmond, Croswell, Lexington. Scotty, would you want that schedule?
Yale schedule?
Yeah, right now.
No, absolutely. I mean, I mean, that's almost as bad. I guess that's almost as bad or kind of the same as the way you look at North Branch's last four games, but it's right off the bat in the start of the season. I mean, that's a tough go of it. And, I definitely would not want to jump right into that Lions den right away.
All right, and then they'll see Almont later, I do believe, in Week 8. We're going to take a quick break and be back, and if we have to go past the 7 o'clock hour, we will here on the Sportsline Radio Show, and then join the regularly programmed show, the Jesse Kelly Show. So be aware of that. If we have to go overtime, that's fine also. We'll be right back here on WMIC, Sportsline Radio Show.
There are names of businesses in our hometown that stand out because of their reputation, their professionalism, and their longevity. One of these cornerstones is the Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency. Since 1978, Grant Smith has been preserving and providing security through health insurance policies when most needed. Call the Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency today and know that he will also be here for you tomorrow.
Local news, local sports, local entertainment, faith, lifestyles, and so much more. That's what you get at BlueWaterHealthyLiving.com. Blue Water Healthy Living is an online magazine that keeps you in the know and lets you escape with their featured video shows, news, and daily articles. Blue Water Healthy Living can be the best part of your day, every day. Visit BlueWaterHealthyLiving.com. It's the online magazine that focuses on the heart and soul of the Blue Water area community.
Welcome back to the Sportsline Radio Show on WMIC AM 660, 95.3 FM. We're still talking about the Blue Water Area Conference with the Almont Raiders. But let's talk about the Almont Raiders, another team that stood out for the Blue Water Area Conference. Much success in the past. They had that bad COVID year, I think, where they just had to drop some games because of the COVID contact tracing. That was 3-3 year record. But last year, 6-5. And then I remember covering them back in 2019, 2018, 13-1 when we went to that state semifinal. Could have had that game. I don't want to go back to that. It was just a nightmare. 10-1 also back in 2018. But James Loosby, since he's taken over for Jeremy Furman, has had great success year in and year out. And we talked about this in a pregame. Are we overlooking Almont and talking too much about Croslex and talking too much about North Branch? And now we're talking too much about Almeida. Almont Raiders consistently, year in and year out, put up some good teams, despite we think it's going to be a down year. But getting the win 35-24 against the Marysville Viking team, legendary team in the past there. It was 6-0 in the first quarter, 7 points scored in the second quarter, but 21 points by Almont. I really took it away. But hey, Marysville started to come back with 18 points also. And it was just still a pretty good battle there. But Almont getting the win 35-24. Yeah, they took a 7-6 lead into halftime before exploding for that 21-point third-quarter explosion. So good adjustments for the Almont Raiders.
Yeah, you know, I know you were pretty high on Elmont coming into the season. JB pretty high on Elmont as well. And, you know, that's a nice win over Marysville. I can't really give you too much more insight than that. The BWAC is tough because, you know, for myself and for Scott, we only have one team in the BWAC, whereas, you know, the Greater Thumb Conference, the NCTL, we have multiple teams. So I have been trying a lot harder to get more into the BWAC, but it is a little bit tough.
Yeah, and, well, the matchup right now, based on paper, looks pretty salivating with North Branch and Elmont coming up, of course, which, like, I think BWAC, when you get to these games now with Armada and Richmond in the mix, maybe Yale, every week's almost going to be a great week. You're going to find a game of the week in the BWAC. So 285 total yards for the Elmont Raiders. 46 yards passing, just 239 yards rushing. That's it. Okay. 12 first downs. But Marysville put up 241 yards themselves, 105 passing yards, 136 yards rushing also. So, really, the defense for Elmont kind of controlled the Marysville Vikings ground game. Now, Scotty, I know this matchup kind of, you know, now with the rivalry because of the coaches. One used to be at Elmont. Now he's at North Branch. Those matchups, really a premier matchup.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of mentioned it during the North Branch schedule rundown with that. No love lost between these two squads. I know Furman's son was there still. I don't know if he's still at Elmont.
I think it's Bryce Furman. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I see a Furman and, name on there, yeah.
Touchdown.
So that's still, you know, that adds just a little bit more to it. You know, and I think that it makes it fun. But it also definitely heightens up the rivalry just a little bit more. And I think it's at Elmont this year because they were at North Branch last year. So if they do follow that rule, it'd be at Elmont this year. So, you know, that it's one of those things where, you know, you're going to go back to, it's almost like when Tom Brady returned to New England, where a lot of people, you know, some people hated him, some people loved him. They're going to be split. People are like, hey, you know, thanks for bringing Elmont to the level it's at, helping bring it here. But you know what? You're at North Branch now. Or we're going to turn our back to you. And I'm sure, you know, it's just one of those things where there's going to be family not talking to each other that week. And it's just going to be a good, fun rivalry. So I'm interested to see what happens in that one because not only is it going to be a heck of a ball game, it's just, like I keep saying, it's going to be a good rivalry.
If I was Coach Furman, I'd be hiding my playbook away from his son. If that is his son or relative, Bryce Furman, he scored a touchdown, a 27-yarder. He had 7 carries, 61 yards, and a touchdown. The leading rusher was 87 yards for Chase Patani. I think he had also 3 touchdown runs also. And you throw in Matt Mizo. He had 78 yards rushing-wise also. He did fumble the ball. I'm sure he's going to be doing laps this week for that. But, you know.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Bryce is his son.
Okay, there you go, Scott Bullsby on the investigation here. So I should have asked Furman because I got him on speed dial also. So, yeah.
Oh, so, there you go.
Yeah. Because I covered many games, state semifinals back in my early coverage.
Oh, I bet. Yeah,
yeah. So it was always fun. So, yeah, that is an interesting, you know, just like the family rivalry. Like I said, he's going to be in one room. He's going to be in the other room. And, wow, he's going to walk around in his Elmont gear, and here's Furman walking in his North Branch gear or his cargo shorts also. So you look out.
Yeah, it just adds another layer to it. And I, you know, I kind of got to laugh. And as a fan, you enjoy the heck out of it, though.
All right, quite a segment here on the Blue Water Area Conference. Scott Bozo with us on Tuscola County Advertiser. And we have Mike Gallagher from the San Luis County News. When we come back, we got high school 8 player football here on the Sportsline Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Carrie Granz with the Thumb Community Health Partnership. We know life can change fast. Your health insurance may need to change to keep up. Certain life changes like getting married or divorce, having a baby, or moving may mean you can enroll in a health insurance plan at any time of the year. You've got 60 days after a life change to get covered, so don't wait until it's too late. If you had a big life change, find out what it means for your health insurance. Find a local navigator near you at thumbhealth.org/get help or contact me, Carrie Granz, at 810-895-2918 to get connected to a navigator that's ready to help you.
Welcome back to the Sportsline Radio Show. We move on to high school 8 player football. We're going to focus on a couple teams at one big. We'll talk to Paul Adams also about the KPAC North here on game. But let's talk about Brown City coming to high school A player football at Brown City. And we talked to Ashley Wayne Palmer about this in the pregame on Sandlake Broadcasting, how she felt. She thought Brown City was going to win this one. Because I said, maybe I base on Peck's experience. She said, I base on the players that Brown City has. And because they played in the Greater Thumb Conference in the East. Yeah, they've been in the basement there for quite some time. But they've got the horses. And boy, Mike Gallagher, boy, did they have them. 64-12. Ran all over the Peck Pirates.
They looked really good. And I think, I don't know that anybody was really surprised that Brown City won. But I was expecting a lot closer game because of the fact that Peck had been playing it for a lot longer. But consider me 100% on the Brown City bandwagon. I know we've talked about their schedule a lot, but I don't care. They're going to the playoffs this year, and it started with the offensive line. In the first quarter, you know, Brown City scores on their first drive. Peck comes back, you know, makes it 8-6. But from there, it was just all Brown City, and you could tell that, you know, Peck was a little bit gassed. They obviously don't have a whole lot of depth, but also a lot of the credit goes to Brown City for kind of wearing them down. Brown City has three senior offensive linemen, Justin Kleinsmith, Seth Hiles, and Aaron Jones. And they really made things look easy up front, really opening some holes for Clint Ford and Kyle Affer, who, you know, they're going to be putting up some big numbers this year. We didn't see Brown City throw the ball as much as they would probably like to, but in a game like that, you don't really need to throw it around. But on the flip side of that, you know, Peck's going to be okay. We got the stats, the official stats from Coach McDaniel this weekend, 9 fumbles and 5 fumbles lost. You're not going to see that out of Peck every week. And you know, Brown City, they're a bigger school than Peck. So Peck, they got Caseville and Akron Fairgrove. I think they're going to get back on track this week against Caseville. I still consider Peck to be, you know, right up in there in the mix for the NCTL Stripes title. Caleb Lettner had a huge game, both touchdowns for Peck, 200 yards rushing. But I think the thing that really stood out was Brown City's defense. Mm-hmm. You know, when you make that transition to A player, that's one of the toughest things is playing defense. The first touchdown, just a nice drive to open the game for Peck. And then the second touchdown, Lettner just breaks free for, 80-yard touchdown run. But other than that, they didn't really give much up to Peck. They have they're going to the Lansing area this week for Maple Valley, Vermontville. Don't really know anything about them, but then you got Onekama after that, and you know, that's a game Brown City should win. So to go into the 8-player era and potentially be 2-1, 3-0 3 weeks into it, I think that's great. And it was just great to see Brown City, you know, compete again. They did have some close games last year. They beat KPAC, but I think this group at Brown City, the senior group, they've really bought in to the game. And, you know, talking to Coach Cooper after the game, he said, you know, this didn't just happen overnight. We've been putting the work in for months now. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm really excited about Brown City. And, you know, I'm not down on Peck at all. I think Peck's going to be just fine this year.
Yeah, Lettner, Caleb Lettner, right?
Correct, yes.
Had 201 yards rushing. He was by far the offensive output for Peck. A lot of put on his shoulders there. Brown City spread the ball around pretty good. Clint Ford, of course, he had 119 yards. He had 1, 2, 3 touchdowns also. The second leading rusher was Kyle Affer. You would think Clint Ford had the leading rushers, but 131 yards for Kyle Affer also in the backfield. And Mr. Potts had 98 yards, I believe. No, that, yeah. 78-yard touchdown return, I
believe.
Yeah,
that was so. So Brown City scores on their first drive, Peck scores on their first drive, and then on the ensuing kickoff, Ryan Binkley Potts takes it back to the house. That really stole the momentum for the game, I feel like, because Peck, you know, they did put a nice drive together on the first drive.
Yeah.
But I think that kind of took some of the wind out of the sails there.
And it did rain also, but both teams got to play in that conditions. And Scotty, Brown City's offense, I think it's geared for A-player football.
Yeah. Absolutely. I saw him in the scrimmage, and I think they got the athletes. I mean, they're quick. They looked quick, and you know, Mike, building off of what you said, Maple Valley got, you know, pummeled in their first game, and as did Onekama. So there's a chance Brown City could start the season 3-0. I know you don't want to count your chickens before they hatch, but you know, they're gonna, those road games are a lot more sweeter if you come back with the victory. And you know, Brown City, they're feeling pretty good after that first week, and like I said, in the scrimmage they looked good. And like Mike said, he's bought into Brown City, and I've now bought into Brown City as well, being an A player. I think they'll be just fine.
You know, and I think, Mike, also, the Brown City fans seem a little reserved about watching this game. But then when they saw how quick this game is, how much scoring there is, possibly, you know.
Yeah.
And it can be also a good defensive battle in eight-player football also. We've seen games like that. But the Brown City fans started buying in, and even Coach Cooper and the assistant coaches turn around and raise their arms. Are you happy now? You know? Are you happy now?
I think there's always that hesitation. We've seen it, you know, obviously with Pack, Deckerville, CPS. Maybe not so much with CPS, but these programs, especially these programs that have seen so much success at the 11-player level, it's hard to see that change to 8-player. And, you know, there's a lot of old-school fans that are, you know, ride or die for the 11-player football. But we've talked about it before. 8-player football just gives these teams an opportunity. Peck had to go out and play 11-player football, they're not going to be winning games. They don't have the numbers. CPS, Akron Fairgrove, Caseville, it just gives these schools an opportunity to continue to play football and to, you know, win some games. We see Brown City and K-Pack. They struggled in the Greater Thumb East the past couple years. And right off the bat, week one win for Brown City, week one win for K-Pack, and that's great to see. And I think the fans, I don't think that the fans weren't ever not going to support the Brown City football team, but I think there's a lot more excitement in Brown City now.
All right.
I can't believe it's 2022 and there's still some people that hate 8-player football. I mean, it blows my mind. I guess if you go to a game, maybe it'll change your mind, especially when you go to a really good game. Because, you know, I think it's just as exciting as an 11-player game at times.
Yeah. And pretty exciting for Kingston Cardinals. They get the win over Akron Fairgrove Vikings 54-12. Scotty, you covered this game.
Yeah. I went over there. That was going to be my first stop of the night, and I ended up just setting up shop there. And, you know, it was a big win for Kingston. Owen Corliss, we talked about him. He's going to have a big year. He had 5 touchdowns. He was 3 of 8 passing, 48 yards, 2 touchdowns, rushed it 16 times for 130 and 3 scores. He had 3 tackles, 2 picks on defense, almost 3 picks on defense. And then, you know, on the defensive side as well, Michael DeRosa, who had, I think, 6 sacks in one game last year, he had 3 fumble recoveries, almost a fourth one, which would have put him in the MHSAA record book. So he had a phenomenal day on defense. Kid just quick off the end. He's tall, lengthy, you know, and I think he is going to be a problem for a lot of teams. And they just have a ton of speed. They have playmakers. The only thing, they did have running backs figuring things out. James Rail carried the ball 6 times, 34 yards and a score. Michael Jenkins also ran the ball 3 times for 1 touchdown. And then another name that popped up in the backup role at quarterback, Tanner James, younger brother of 2-time player of the year for the TSA, Hunter James.
Wow.
He came in, and they're like, it's like watching a video game when you see this kid. And he really was all over the field, running from, you know, from sideline to sideline. He was just amazing at quarterback. So if Corliss wasn't there, Tanner James could easily slide into that role, and they'd be just fine. It's just mind-blowing that Kingston continues to bring in these playmakers. And they do have this eight-player game figured out. And Coach Jones, he's done a good job of taking them from that one win season a couple years ago and building it right back up and getting that big win as they get the victory over Akron Fairgrove 54-12.
Well, they're going to have to forget about that win and move on because, boy, yeah, do they have a tough matchup coming up in week 2. I believe it's going to be Auburn Hills, Oakland Christian Lancers, who are in the North Central Thumb 8-man league Stars division. This looks like a pretty good team. They won 44-6 in week 1 over Bay City All Saints.
You know, the funny thing about this is They are going to be playing this game on Friday at noon. The game is going to be played at Luther Northwest Field in Rochester Hills. So they're going to be playing on this giant field. They're going to have to obviously trim it down to eight player, but it's going to be at a noon kickoff on Friday. So if you got nothing going on for the holiday weekend and you want to go check out a football game, this could be easily one of the top matchups in our area in eight player this week. I mean, it could. I think it is going to be as far as two very talented teams. Oakland Christian looked good out of the gate, and this is going to be a conference battle. This is going to be a team that scored a lot of points in week one, and it's going to be a road test for Kingston, but it's kind of also a road test for Oakland Christian because it's not their home field. They don't have a home field. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. So if you are interested, noon Friday, Luther Northwest High School in Rochester Hills, Kingston, Oakland Christian.
All right, good tip there. Mayville got the big win, 68-0 over Caseville. We'll talk about Mayville next week when they take on week two against Burton Atherton, who may be a little bit tougher for Mayville come week two also. So we'll get more insight from you, Scotty, after week two game because it's Caseville. I mean, yeah. I will give credit. I talked to Paul about this. I give credit for Caseville for always making sure they can try to play a game. They don't like the forfeit. They will send their team out there no matter who their competition is.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, real quick, Mayville will be kicking that game off a different time as well because they're having some work done. As they got rid of the Wildcat Den. They're rebuilding. They're doing stuff over there. So they don't have lights right now. So that'll be a 6 o'clock kickoff. And they're going to be praying for a running clock because it's starting to get darker earlier.
And we'll be right back here on the Sportsline Radio Show. And coming up next, I'll talk to Paul Adams from the Huron County View about the KPEC and North Huron game. Pretty good long discussion and his take on the high school eight-player football game. So Mike and Scott, stand by and listen in. And then we'll come back to Mike and Scott and get their take on that Deckerville game against Ashley also. Right here on Sportsline Radio Show on WMIC AM 660. And again, if we go over past the 7 o'clock hour, that's okay. We'll join the Jesse James Show in progress.
For more than 25 years, Agri Valley Services has been the better choice for internet service in the Thumb region. As a local company with local employees, we know how important fast and reliable internet is to you. That's why we're committed to continually improving our service offerings and backing them with next-level customer care.
Summer may be going strong, but it's time to start thinking about the kids going back to school. Is your internet up for the task of online schoolwork? Make the smart switch to Agri Valley Services anytime during the month of August and get a $150 credit on your account. All plans are straightforward with no introductory rates or data usage caps. Call the AVS sales team at 888-282-4932 to get started. Plans and availability vary by location. Terms and conditions apply. Agri Valley Services, better internet since 1996.
Hi, this is Steve Kohler with Kohler's Propane. Looking back, it's been a real nice summer, but each day is closer to fall and cooler weather. When it's time for your furnace to go on, will you be ready? You will be if you depend on Kohler's Propane. For 73 years, we've been keeping homes and businesses in the Thumb and Blue Water area warm and cozy. Our goal is to provide you with quality products and superior service. We guarantee your price for one full year, offer free tank installation, free safety inspection, plus keep full and budget plans are available. At Kohler's, we have a commitment to our customers and communities we serve to continue to provide the level of service we would expect ourselves. For information, call us toll free, 800-572-2191. Or visit our website, getkohlers.com. And remember, nobody gives you gas like Kohler's.
All right, welcome back to the Sportsline Radio Show on WMIC AM 660 and 95.3 FM. Back with us is Paul Adams of the Huron County View. Publication comes out every Thursday, free of charge, by the way. And support their great sponsors in the paper also. Paul, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Thanks for the plug, Eddie. Appreciate that.
Yeah, and you were plugging away once again. A busy weekend for you. I know cross country, volleyball now, it's in full gear. Week one of high school football in the books. Also, a lot of games on Thursday and Friday also. And we're going to talk in this segment with you about your coverage of the North Huron KPEC Chiefs High School 8 player football game. I do believe this was the KPEC's first official varsity high school 8 player football game.
That's correct, Eddie. You know, KPEC is a full member of the NCTL Stars, so this was a crossover week one game. Really didn't know what to expect out of KPEC. They got some nice players. Their quarterback, I don't recall his name, really nice athlete. They've got a little bit of size. They have no depth, though, Eddie. I think there was 18 guys total. Well, I should say 18 players because there was two girl players on the team as well. And I'm guessing they're not running a JV program. So, you know, the question is, well, why did KPEC go down to 8-player football? Well, look on the sidelines Thursday night and you'll find out. There's no way that KPEC could be competitive in the Greater Thumb Conference. But as for the game itself, I thought North Huron competed really well. North Huron took the opening kickoff down. They were in the red zone, fumbled. KPEC had a scoring drive. North Huron fumbled the ensuing kickoff. KPEC scored again. It was 14-0. North Huron scored, made it 14-8, and KPEC had a touchdown in the third quarter. My first impressions of North Huron, this is not the team that won All-Thumb Team of the Year last year, and we knew that North Huron was going to have a different look. A lot of those guys are gone. The All-Thumb Player of the Year, Will Case, has graduated. They're a ground-and-pound team. North Huron reminds me a lot of an Ubley. You know, they're going to run the ball and run the ball again, which means they have to be with or near the lead. And that game kind of got away from them. But I think North Huron, they're still going to be very competitive in the NCTL stripes, but they're definitely taking a step back from what they were. And KPEC, the jury's out on them. They'll win some games, but I still think they'll struggle against the likes of Kingston and Deckerville and some of the blue bloods in the NCTL Stars division.
Yeah, I'll be moving away from radio, of course. I started with the sports on Thumbtalker to Sports. I'll be filling in from time to time, and that's a game I'll be filling in come Wednesday. So a short week for KPEC and Deckerville. Pretty exciting game. KPEC sent the invite. I said, absolutely. That's a game I kind of want to watch and see where KPEC actually is and where Deckerville actually is also, because Deckerville came away with a win themselves over the week also. They got the win over Ashley 56-14, but we're going to find out what KPEC really is made of. You're asking about the quarterback. Carlos Uribe Arce is his name.
There you go.
And I think I said it right, but I'll get it correct come Wednesday.
I knew it was a hard name, so I wasn't even going to try to attempt it.
But a pretty good, well-balanced offense. 219 rushing yards, 119 passing yards for KPEC.
Yeah, I liked what they did. They were able to pass the ball a little bit. They were able to run the ball. They didn't overwhelm North Huron by any means. I mean, it was a 20-8 final. But, you know, you could tell they're still feeling themselves out in the 8-player game. And here's a perfect example of how they burned all their timeouts in the first quarter, in the first half. Mm. So there was definitely some things that they needed to work on. But I thought as the game progressed, KPEC got a little bit stronger. North Huron, they only have, I think, 14 guys on the roster. Three of their seniors were sitting on the bench in the fourth quarter with injuries. And some of the younger guys, they got thrown into the fire. I thought they did pretty well, but that's not a recipe for success for North Huron with three guys that Coach Knobloch knows that are integral pieces sitting on the bench with injuries. Hopefully those guys can get healed up, because if they suffer any of those kind of injuries, it's going to be a real long season for the Warriors. But I agree with you, Eddie. You know, we'll see right now this week, Wednesday, you know, what KPEC's made of, because they're going to face one of the blue blood programs in the state with Deckerville.
Yeah, Carlos Uribe Arce had a 22-yard run to get the first score to make it 8-0. He got the two-point conversion, and then he threw a pass to Wyatt Hurley. The two-point conversion was failed, but it was 14-0. And then North Huron was able to get in on the board in the second quarter with a 65-yard run. Do you know who got that 65-yard run?
Yeah, it was that's quarterback Jordan Coleman, and it was a beauty. He had a convoy of blockers in front of him. I don't think he was ever touched. So North Heron showed a little bit of what it was capable of with that scoring play.
And then Aiden Uribe Arce must be a brother or a cousin or something. He had a 2-yard run after a good drive in the third quarter for KPEC Chiefs. They kind of spread the ball around also. It looks like a player called Derek Mason got some touches. He had about 74 yards. Also, a number 20 for KPEC. Matt Lee got some touches also for KPEC. And Aiden Uribe Arce had 38 yards and that touchdown. And his brother had 25 yards, the quarterback also. So, kind of seen some shades of what North Huron probably did when they had a quarterback running the offense in the backfield, what KPEC did.
Yeah, exactly, Eddie. And, you know, quite honestly, with North Huron right now, Jordan Coleman is at quarterback, but he's not a quarterback. He's there really by necessity. Losing Will Case meant a lot to that team, and Jordan Coleman's doing the best he can. He's next man up, but you're not going to see a ton of passes from the North Huron offense this year. That I can guarantee you.
But back to KPEC, 9 of 11 passes for Uribe Arce.
Yeah, I liked a lot of what I saw from that KPEC quarterback. He's a bigger kid, very athletic. You know, he can make things happen with his legs a little bit, buy himself some time when he's throwing the ball. So, he's obviously going to be the key to that entire team. KPAC's going to go as he goes, for sure.
Yeah, Wyatt Hurley had 64 yards, 4 receptions, and a touchdown. And you throw in also Derek Mason for this KPAC Chiefs team. Now, you know, we were wondering about the debuts of KPAC and Brown City, and boy, they kind of made a statement, didn't they, coming in?
Well, you know, Brown City certainly made a statement. I thought Peck, and I still think Peck is going to be one of the contenders in the NCTL stripes. And, Brown City dismantled Peck. That was a bit surprising. I'm not surprised that Brown City won that game. I'm kind of surprised by how easily they won. Now, you know, going forward with Brown City, there's no more teams in the thumb that they're facing. So it's going to be really hard to get a gauge on how good Brown City is. But with KPEC, we're going to know how good KPEC is because – this week they're going to face Deckerville, and they've got Kingston on the schedule. They got the rest of the NCTL stars. So we'll have a really good idea about KPEC. Brown City, I think even if Brown City were to run the table and go 9-0 with their barnstorming schedule across the state, I really don't know how good they are because there's really nobody to compare them to. So I think it's going to be easier to figure out how good KPEC is than how good Brown City is, because they're just going to be a mystery with the schedule they're playing.
Yeah, there are a lot of mysteries in week one and week two for our sports writers and our media coverage out there also.
Well, that's why, Eddie, we're not doing our Thumb sports writers top 10 polls until after week three. We need to get an idea where everybody's going to fit in before we start trying to slot all these teams in.
Well, other 8-player action had Adrian Lenaway Christian over Genesee 51-0. Auburn Hills Oakland Christian defeated Bay City All Saints 44-6. Burton Atherton were able to play. They defeated New Haven Merritt 18-8. Carsonville Port Stanley, they got the forfeit win over Flint International. They did play against each other on the field, you know, the blue and gold team, just to get the practice little field because they're going to have to start hitting harder when they'll be at Akron Fairgrove this week. Deckerville over Ashley 56-14. Kingston, the big win over the Vikings, 54-12. Mayville shut out Caseville also. I got to make a note, you know, even though Mayville is a little bit bigger school and playing against Caseville, I do got to tip the hat to Caseville always coming out and play. No matter the beating they get, they try to field a team. And they won't forfeit. They don't like to do that, do they?
No, they don't. And I'm telling you, you can mark it down and save this clip. Caseville will win a game this year and could win multiple games. I really do think that the NCTL stripes is really up for grabs. They took it on the chin this week. The only win the stripes division got was the forfeit win that CPS got. So I think when league play starts this week, the NCTL stripes is going to be really intriguing. I think week in, week out, it's going to be a hard division to get a gauge on who's going to win it. I think North Huron's still going to be in it, but North Huron's got Bay City All Saints this week. You know, I think CPS is an up and comer. I think Akron Fairgrove is going to open some eyes. So I think when those teams start playing each other, there are going to be some really good competitive games in the NCTL stripes.
Yeah, it's been three straight years since Caseville won a game, but you're predicting they'll win a couple games at least.
I'm predicting at least one, maybe two or three games this year. I really do. Caseville has the best athlete in the NCTL stripes. His name is Nathan Feltner. This is a guy who was a multiple state qualifier in the 100-meter dash and a 200-meter dash. Let me tell you, I don't care who you are. When you're qualifying and placing in the top 10 of those, which he did, that is legit track speed. This kid, if he gets out in space, bye-bye. Nobody's catching him. So I truly believe when they get in playing the teams of similar size and they can get Feltner out in space, he is going to be really hard to catch and really really make some things happen for Caseville and give a lot of headache to some opposing defenses.
Yeah, quite a tough schedule coming up. They got Peck, North Heron, All Saints, Akron Fairgrove, New Haven, Merritt, Carson with Porcianic, Ashley, and then they scheduled K-Pack also. Again, they don't shy away from the potential competition.
No, I tell you, Eddie, you know, anybody that's met Sam Rogers, I've never heard anybody say a bad word about Sam Rogers. Sam Rogers is the coach for Caseville. He is a great dude, the perfect guy to coach that team. He's got a positive attitude. You know, like you said, they haven't won a game in three seasons. But when you talk to him, you just come away feeling like, man, you just want to see that team win. You want to see good things happen to Caseville because I think he's a good guy. His heart's in the right place. And I think when it happens, it's going to be really cool for them and hopefully build on it.
It's Paul Adams of the Huron County View. Check out his publication, Huron County View, on the internet. It comes out every Thursday also. Paul Adams of the Huron County View. Hey, Paul, thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Eddie. Appreciate it.
Your friends at Liberty Lanes in Sandusky say, come join the team. The Fall Bowling Leagues will soon be starting, and Liberty Lanes has openings for the Monday night and Wednesday morning ladies' leagues, as well as men's leagues on Tuesday and Wednesday evenings. Liberty Lanes also has mixed leagues on Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday evenings. For more information or sign up, just call or stop in at Liberty Lanes and talk to Roger or Heidi. Plus, Liberty Lanes is a great place to eat. Great food, drinks, and spirits. They are also hiring for all positions, so apply now at Liberty Lanes, located at the West Park Plaza in Sandusky. Call 810-648-9860. 810-648-9860. And like them on Facebook and their website, boldlibertylanes.com.
And welcome back to the Sportsline Radio Show in overtime. Here we'll probably go into past the 7 o'clock hour and join the Jesse James Show in progress. We continue our high school 8 player football talk back here with Mike Gallagher with this Sandlot County News and Scott Bowlesby of the Tuscola County Advertiser. Let's talk about the Dackerville football team. We talked to Paul about K-Pack and North Huron. Dackerville taking on K-Pack this week. Well, another team that made a splash was the K-Pack Chiefs over North Huron, 20-8. This week they'll have the Dackerville Eagles, who got the win over Ashley also on a, was it a Friday? Yeah, it was a Friday last week.
Yep.
They get the win over Ashley, 56-14. Mike Gallagher, let's talk about the Dackerville Eagles.
Yeah, I think, you know, going into the season, I don't want to say it was a question mark because Dackerville always runs the ball extremely well. That's, you know, that's the one guarantee every year is that Dackerville is going to run the ball well. But they graduated Ethan Bowerman and Will Brown. They combined for over 2,000 yards rushing and over 30 touchdowns. So you're going to need to find some guys to plug into the backfield. And I think they found them. They did it a little bit more running back by committee, but, you know, Peter Lapp goes over 100 yards. Chris Kozel goes over 100 yards. And then Parker Merriman and Dylan Ball, they put up pretty good numbers on just a couple of carries. 554 total yards for Dackerville, 435 yards on 55 carries. That's a Dackerville stat line, and it just goes to show it doesn't really matter who's in the backfield. Dackerville's going to run the ball on you, and they're going to be very good at it.
Yeah, you just got to have the horses. Being that your wife is from Dackerville, by the way, Scotty, which is why I really like you too, more so. That takes away the Sandusky dark cloud over you.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I was going to say, it's just that's the way it goes in Deckerville. Every year where you go, hey, Deckerville's going to be down this year. Oh, just kidding. No, they're not. Yeah. They found somebody else. They found three more kids out in the cornfield. They're going to be all right. They got it all figured out. And, I got to give credit where credit's due. I mean, I grew up, that was the one of the teams we hated in Sandusky. But every year they get it figured out. And every year this could be the year where Deckerville doesn't do something. This could be the year where Deckerville only wins four games, five games. But then they come out with a big win. I mean, Ashley is down this year. But, they are able to plug in more players and just continue playing right along.
Here's what I like, Mike. Mm-hmm. Passing. Four completions, but on six attempts, 88 yards, but it led to two touchdowns.
That's another
thing.
For
Deckerville.
That's another thing with Deckerville. The defenses have to try so hard to stop that running game, and they have to overcompensate so much, and they have to load the box, and they have to do everything they can to stop that run. And I've seen it dozens of times. It'll be a handoff up the middle. Nope, it's a fake. There's a tight end wide open 20 yards down the field.
Good luck stopping Derek Osborne.
We saw that last week with Deckerville against Ashley. Connor Palmer, 59-yard touchdown reception. Derek Osborne, 24-yard touchdown reception. So it's a very tough thing to game plan against Deckerville because you want to stop that run so badly, and then they'll hit you right at the perfect time with that pass. But a nice debut for Hunter Garza at quarterback. Like we said, he's going to have some great receiving options. The one thing, Ashley did throw the ball around a little bit, and I know that was a concern for Deckerville coming into the season. They didn't have any returning players in the defensive backfield, so that's going to be something that they're going to have to shore up, and I'm 100% sure that they will. There's some great coaches at Deckerville, and they're going to coach these kids up. Hopefully in time for the Kingston game, because if Ashley's throwing it around on you, then Kingston's probably going to throw it around as well.
I'm excited about the Wednesday game that I'll be doing for Thumb Tailgater away from radio, coming back to my home base of sports coverage. I'm excited about the KPEC and Deckerville game come Wednesday. A Wednesday hump day. Why are they playing Wednesday?
So obviously we got the holiday coming up. Most of the games were going to be on Thursday. We have the ref shortages.
Okay.
And I guess KPAC had a little bit of trouble finding refs, so we're going to go with a Wednesday game this week, and I'll take it.
Which explains on your aspect, Scotty, that some of those games are on Fridays also in your coverage.
Yeah, that was an interesting one. They moved it to Friday at noon, and it kind of spread like wildfire at the game. They were kind of telling everyone. And I wasn't expecting, what to expect. But, again, I think that's going to be a really good matchup. I think the Lancers are going to be tough.
All right. And we'll have that on Thumb Tailgater Sports, Channel 1 at thumbtailgater.com. Come Wednesday, 6:45 p.m., myself and Ashley Winter-Palmer. Go ahead.
One last note on Deckerville. The Eagles traveled to Ashley last week, and kudos to assistant coach Dan Brown and assistant coach Steve Blashill, who were coaching without head coach Bill Brown, who missed his first football game, his first Deckerville football game in 39 years to attend his daughter's wedding. I'm sure it was maybe a tough choice, maybe not a tough choice, but a guy that's dedicated to Deckerville football, hasn't missed a game since 1983, and I'm sure he felt comfortable with Coach Brown and Coach Blashill. So
as a head coach, who was the head coach then?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be his first win as a head coach.
It'd probably be Coach Boone, I think.
Yeah. All right. And his daughter, getting married. And I think Bill Brown is still crying from that daddy-daughter dance.
Yeah.
So, aww.
So I got two daughters. I'm going to bawl.
Oh,
my
yeah,
eyes. And a granddaughter. So, Grandpa Fury.
You're screwed.
You got two boys. So
I know. I
you got to keep them from doing that word to stay safe out there. So, any more coming, Scotty B? Any more coming?
As of now, no. But that's not saying the plan is not laid out.
All right. Well, for Scott Bowlesby from the Tuscola County Advertiser and Mike Gallagher from the San Lake County News, that wraps up our Week one recap edition of the Sportsline Radio Show on WMIC AM 660 and 95.3 FM. Boy, guys, a lot of great subject matter here to talk about. Sometimes you just don't have enough time. Maybe I have to have a Wednesday show. But, man, you guys got volleyball, cross-country, football, tennis. What else? Golf?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting into some of the other sports as we get a little more comfortable with this new show and the new times because, man, there's so much great stuff going on around Santa Clara County. Scott mentioned the Mike Jackson Memorial Invitational last week at Croswell. Eva Thompson taking first place for Croslex. Morgan Newton right behind. Sandusky tennis team wins the Sandusky Invitational for the first time ever. And then Marlette Volleyball, they take first place at the Vassar Invitational after finishing runner-up at the Bad Axe Hatchet Invitational the week before. So I'm really looking forward to diving into these other sports and really getting into it with you guys.
Yeah, it's going to be a very busy time. Appreciate these guys, folks. They're out every single night through Saturday and then working on the papers on Sunday also and then doing this show also. Scotty B. in your neck of the woods, pretty exciting for Evergreen Park. Cassidy Invitational, cross country there this coming Labor Day weekend. That would be on Saturday.
Yeah, I got to figure out some stuff there, and I might have to take that. I might have to push Let's Talk Sports back a little bit, and not to name drop here, Eddie, but
yeah,
I might have
fine.
To push that back another week and get out there because I saw that a couple weeks ago that they were going to be running there, and I kind of asked one of the coaches that I'm not sure, and now it's, you know, confirmed, and I'm pretty excited. I think that's going to be a beautiful place to watch a race at.
All right, because we know we like it at Wagner. Why not over there on the west side?
Heck yeah.
All right, Scotty and Mike, thank you for tuning in and being part of our Sportsline Radio Show.
Absolutely.
All right, thank you, Scott and Mike. And to go down to week two of high school football games, high school football eight-player tomorrow on Wednesday, August 31st. This will be on Thumbtugger Sports at Channel 1 at thumbtugger.com. High school eight-player football, Dackerville at KPEC. High school football action on Thursday on Sandlack Broadcasting, WBGV 92.5. It's Bad Axe at Sandusky. Lakers at Cass City, a big game there. Vassar at Memphis. Carroll at Ubley. Unionville Seabooing at Marlette's. Reese at Harbor Beach. That would be on Thumbtugger Sports, Channel 2 at thumbtugger.com. Croswell Lexington at Richmond. Yale at Armada. Hamtramck at Elmont. North Branch at Emily City. High school eight-player football, Carsonville Port Sandlack at Akron Fairgrove. We got Bay City All Saints at North Huron. Caseville at Peck, Burton Atherton at Mayville, Ashley at New Haven Merritts, Kingston at Auburn Hills Oakland Christian, and Genesee at International Academy of Flint. Be sure to check your times and dates just in case it changes with the MHSAA and the school's website. Thank you for tuning in to the Sportsline Radio Show on WMIC AM 660, 95.3 FM.
Thank you, sir.
And we want to thank you, folks. Of course, this whole show will be uploaded on our SaintLakeBroadcasting.com website. Thank you for tuning in to Sportsline Radio Show on WMIC AM 660 and 95.3 FM.